Welcome to Her Story Untold Studios, where we turn trials into triumphs. I'm your host, Tanir. Today, we have a beautiful guest with us who has tragically lost her mother. So with this disclaimer, if you are sensitive to this type of content, please consider clicking out now. For those who chose to stay, thank you for joining us. Remember, every story has the power to inspire and heal. Welcome to Her Stories Untold Studio, sister.
Thank you, sis. Hey, I'm so happy to be here.
Yes, it's an honor to have you as a guest with us today. If you would please introduce yourself.
My name is Anisu Williams. I'm originally from Long Beach, California. I'm a little bit of a nomad. I lived in Louisiana for a long time, and now I reside in Texas. Woo-hoo!
So, you can lead us with a little prayer before we begin.
Absolutely. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you today, God, just thanking you for waking us up, God, honoring you for who you are, Father. Thanking you for allowing us the activities of our limbs and closing us in our right mind. We realize that somebody had plans to wake up on today, God, and they did not. So, God, we honor you today. We thank you and we honor you for this opportunity, God. I thank you for my sister Tanir, God, for her walking in her destiny, Father, which you have placed her for we the people. And so, Father, we ask now in the name of Jesus that you would set upon us now in this podcast, God, that we would edify you even in our telling of stories and sharing on today, that somebody that hears our stories, God, may be delivered, healed, and set free. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. Amen.
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 Ooh. So, sis, we're going to let you have the floor. You can start wherever you want to start.
All right. So, a little bit about me. I am the youngest girl of five. My mother and father would have made 55 years of marriage this year, but she passed away a few months before 54 years of marriage. I grew up in Long Beach, California, the West Side. We had a pretty dope household. We looked like the Huxtables, but we were crazy. We had all kind of stuff going on in the house. So my mom, my dad worked away from home. So my mom, she kept us in line with an iron fist. Growing up, I didn't always agree with her ways because she seemed so mean. But now that I'm older, I understand her strict and stern way of doing things. She had five kids in the house. She had to keep it all under control. Later on in life, I realized that there's destiny for me. I grew up in a Baptist church. And to be honest, you know, you growing up, you go because your mama make you go. You go because you got friends there. I did a lot of auxiliaries in the church. I did usher board and I sang in a choir. I did the little plays and all of the things, right? So then at about 19, one of my childhood friends' mother, she was a prophet. We intersected each other. Seventh grade happened. We didn't see each other again to high school. And after I graduated, she was just like, God has a call on your life. Prophetess Pamela Tony, I'm gonna go ahead and give her a shout out. And she birthed me through this thing. We lost contact for years, but the Lord never lost contact with me. And so I haven't been perfect by any means of the word at all, but there is a call on my life. And so I believe that the Lord further activated my destiny when my mother got killed. On February 15th, 2023, at approximately 7:31 p.m., my mother was killed. I'm going to back up and tell you a little bit of my story. I'm sure my siblings, there's so many of us, so I'm sure everybody has their own. But for me, I got off of work that day. I used to work in the oil field as a truck driver. And just so happens that my trucking yard was 3 to 4 miles away from my parents' house. So I start going over there regularly because I worked near. That day in particular was a Wednesday. I stopped by my mom's house and we were laughing because I had split my pants while trying to cross over a firewall at work. And my mom was super funny. And so I'm calling her, and you know, because I got on tights underneath my pants, but still they busted, right? So who wants to be seen in the neighborhood with busted pants? So I'm like, girl, open the door. She like, girl, I'm coming. So she opened the door for me. At this point, it's like a little after 5 p.m. So she opened the door for me and I ran inside. She said, girl, why is your tail out like that? And she always teased me about my behind. So she had all the jokes in the world. We cracking up laughing. And I'm like, I need some sweats. She like, you know, took all my sweats. So I'm like, oh yeah. So I go out to my car where I remember I have a pair of her sweats and throw them on. We sit there, we chopping it up for a minute. I'm telling her about this guy that I had recently met that she was so wanting to meet. And I was like, I don't know about him. You know what I'm saying? And my mom had this thing. She felt like I threw men away too often. So she told me, this is our last conversation. She said, I was telling her, I said, she said, where is old John boy? That was not his name. She just named him. And I said, girl, I don't know about keeping old John boy. And she said, what'd he do, Nisu? Put his pants on one leg after the other? And I said, girl, I'm like, stop playing with me like that. I'm like, no, I said, this is the day after Valentine's Day. So I was like, his first ex-wife sent him a happy Valentine's text or whatever. And I was like, I think that that's a little strange, you know, the loves and, you know, the little gifs or whatever they called. I'm like, yeah, that's weird. But my mom is giving me free game. She like, didn't he just help you finish paying off your lawyer? Some kids hit me in my 18-wheeler and I ended up having to pay for a lawyer because they were trying to pin me with. So she said, didn't he just help you pay off your lawyer? I'm like, yeah. She like, isn't she asking him why she wasn't invited to his daughter's party? I had been to his daughter's party. And he told me that the first ex-wife asked why she wasn't invited because her children were there, who are now young adults. And so I was telling mom and she was like, she was begging to be at the place where he brought you around his family and friends. She was like, don't sound like there's no competition. Don't seem like no reason for you to run. Seems like you need to sit still. We talked about that. Ironically, he calls on FaceTime. They get a chance to meet. We never knew that this, he meets her an hour before she passes away. I gave her FaceTime real quick. I'm like, oh, here go mama right here. I'm like, T, this is my mama, Miss Dorothy. Dorothy, this T. She like, oh, hey. And I'm like, all right, not too much. I'll talk to you later. You know, because I really don't know about him right now yet because I'm still feeling away. I also have a gift of discerning the spirit. So it's not too much you can get past me, right? So my mom is old school. You know, that's a good man, Savannah. You know, they got a little change. They paying bills and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? She like, stick in there. I'm like, girl, I'll pay my own bills if I got to deal with that. So we laughing and talking. She looking through sales papers. I'm picking them up and she putting them down, looking at a bunch of stuff I'm not going to buy. And a few minutes later, I'm like, all right, well, I got to go because I got to go to church. She was telling me, I said, you ain't cooking nothing, because I would go over there every day and eat. Like, I don't smell no hog maws, no chitlins, no nothing. She like, girl, I ain't had time to cook. She cooked for my dad and my oldest son and whoever, all of us who came through every day. She cooked every day and we'd come through there and eat. She said she had my two little nephews, my niece's son and my brother's only son. She always had them. She babysat them. So she said, I had them. We went to the store, whoopty whoop. She was like, I ain't had time to cook and I got to go pick up for the sake of my niece's privacy. She had to go pick up my niece. I'm not going to name her. And I said, all right. She had given me back my debit card two days prior. I had given her my debit card because I'm making money now, you know, so it wasn't that they needed. But, you know, when you get in a position, you finally want to help your people, right? So she had grocery shopping. She was talking about, oh, girl, I sure appreciate that, girl. Yeah, you know, doing all that. I'm like, all right. So that's why I asked her, you know, you ain't cooked? She like, girl, I ain't had time. I'm like, all right. So I'm like, well, I got to go to church. She like, all right. I sat there and I talked to her to like, church started at like 7. So I probably talk to her till like 6:45. So I'm running. So I leave and I go to church. My pastors are not there. They're on a vacation. So they got like an assistant pastor preaching. And so, you know, when the assistant pastor speak that night, they real quick, you know. Mm-hmm. So we got out of there. We got out of there in like 20 minutes or something. It was crazy. I called my mom when I got out of church and she answered. And I'm like, girlfriend, I'm like, this receipt, this ain't the right receipt. Did you go over my debit card? She like, no, girl, I didn't. She like, I must have got you the wrong receipt. I'm like, oh, okay. She like, no, but I didn't, girl. That, it's still on your check. I'm like, all right, girl, I'll talk to you later. And 2 minutes after we talked, she was killed. That was it. Yeah, that was it. So I go home. I live like 20 minutes, 22 minutes from my parents. So I don't know. She didn't, you know, I don't know. That was it. So I go home and my middle son, I have my middle son and my baby boy. They still live with me. So my middle son had just started his job that day, his new job. So I'm on the phone with one of my homegirls, my homegirl who's a pastor. She and her husband found a church and in Ohio. So we on the phone talking, just girl talk. We've been knowing each other forever. And waiting on my son to get off work. I done got home, took my shower, put on a little cami, some underwear. I'm chilling. It's bedtime, right? Waiting on my boy to call me so I can go pick him up. And my sister is calling me from FaceTime all of a sudden. I'm like, why is she calling me from FaceTime? So I tell my homegirl, hold on. I click over and my sister is frantic. She like, Mimi, Mimi. They call me Mimi. That's my family nickname. She like, mom been in a bad accident. And she like, I'm like, where's my mama? She like, I don't know. I'm like, what do you mean you don't know? I'm like, are you there? She's like, yeah. But she's crying. She's out of breath. She's like, I can't get to her. My sister is legally blind. So the problem was that because she's legally blind, she ended up pulling up by the side of all the ambulances and the lights are playing with her vision. So she can only see decent out of one eye anyway, right? So she's like, da, da, da. And I'm like, okay. So I'm looking around my room for something to throw on. Girl, I just throw on the sweats I was just joking with mama about. I just throw them on. I got on flip-flops. I got a bonnet on my head. I break out my room running. I live in a little townhouse. So my baby boy who's home, his room is across from mine. He running the hallway. I remember him running after me like, ma, you know, he's like, what's going on? I'm like, use my debit card. Call your brother and live home. And that's all I said. I get to the house. Nah, I'm on a freeway. I throw my flashers on and I'm hitting it. So I'm hitting it. I'm trying to get to the location. She just told me a location, but she didn't give me an exact. But because I know the area, I'm going to run into it. I decided I'm going to go because I kept saying, where my mama? And she was like, they won't let me get to her. I'm like, what? So I'm like, all right, I'm on my way. So I go. But she was saying, you know, that my nephews were in the ambulance and my niece, I don't remember where my niece was. I think she said they took her in the ambulance, but she couldn't find my mama. So I'm like, I don't know what I'm thinking in the moment. Just get to the site. I need to get there. So I jump in the car, I turn on the flashers, and I hit it. Barely stopping anywhere. Just like hitting the horn. Boom, 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 as I'm coming through traffic. And I click over, my homegirl is still on the line. I'm like, niche, like, my mama been in an accident, woo-woo. So we'll put a pin there. On the 13th, I went to take my mother the card. And she didn't look like herself. She was in slow motion. I'm like, girl, what's wrong with you? She used to have like little heart palpitations and stuff. She's like, I don't know. I'm just tired. Woo-woop. I'm like, you called a doctor? She like, nah, they ain't gonna say nothing. Woo-woop. But she ended up, it's this little carton of potatoes. and it come with a seasoning in the pack. She put it in the microwave. She like, mate, you need to start buying the boys these or whatever. Now, this is the day before. This is 2 days before she dies. And I'm like, all right, or whatever. I'm like, you sure you're good? She like, yeah. I'm like, okay. The next morning, which is February 14th, Valentine's Day, I can't shake the feeling that something's about to happen to my one of my parents. I knew it was her, though. I just didn't know what it was. That's the gift of, that's the prophetic and the gift of being able to discern. So I'm telling everybody, I'm down. I'm driving. I'm doing my loads. And the guy that I'm talking to at the time, he's like, what's wrong with you? You're not like this. And I was like, something ain't right. You know what I'm saying? I'm concerned about my mom. And he was like, you know, why? And I was just like, you know, I know I sense something ain't right. Like, I just couldn't put my finger on it. Crazy part is, as crazy as this sounds, I knew my mother was about to go, but I thought it had to do with her heart. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So he trying to pray with me or whatever, because his mom is an evangelist over in Mississippi. So he trying to pray with me, but it ain't breaking. I'm like severely depressed, right? And I can't call my siblings and tell them any, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the downside of being the chosen one in a family. You know, if you tell people certain stuff, they may think you crazy, or, you know, it might alarm them and alert them and have them acting crazy. So I just did it. I didn't know what to say. So my same friend, that's the pastor, she and I ended up talking, and I told her, you know what I'm saying, what I was feeling. And she ended up praying, and it broke. When the heaviness broke, I thought that that meant that all was well. You understand what I'm saying? I thought that it was cool. I thought that the prayer meant that mom's was straight, but the Lord just lifted the heaviness off of me. That's all it meant. All right, boom. So when I'm on my way to the hospital, my niece, my sister's daughter, ends up calling. She like, hey, auntie, we on our way to the hospital. I'm like, which one? And they tell me, I just get off the freeway because I'm already about to pass that exit up anyway. So I get out at the emergency room and I'm running. And I go inside. My dad is a very humble man. So he's just sitting there. I can see the worry on his face, but he's just sitting there. I'm like, where my mama? He's like, I don't know, baby. So I walk up to the desk and I'm like, hey, how you doing? My mother's name is Dorothy. Her birthday is May 2nd. I'm rattling off all this stuff. You know what I'm saying? And in my mind, even today, I can remember thinking that it was a bad accident. So although I had an inclination that I already knew days prior that she was going to pass, the daughter in me had a hope. And so what I'm thinking is that she's going to be in ICU and they're working on her, right? That's in my mind. So when I run to the front desk, I'm like, you know, talking to this Caucasian lady, and she's just real matter of factly, which is blowing me. And so she tells me that the only way, there was three major accidents that night, and the only way that you can get any information is through the doctor. I'm like, all right. So these two African-American ladies, who also was front desk clerks, they walk over to my dad. So I walk over there thinking they had information. They just consoling him. One of my brothers calls his children's mom, who stayed on the scene with my mom, and he called her for information. So I'm like, what's she saying? What's she saying? And it's just like, I know my people. So my brother looking, he like, oh. And I'm like, what? You know what I'm saying? So he not saying nothing. We go off the emergency room exit. He hit left. I guess he was going to his car. So I ran in my car. I'm going to go find my own mom. So I ain't got time for this. Nobody's giving us nothing at this point. My nephews, so I guess this is important. My mother was picking my niece up from work. So my nephew, my oldest brother's son, is in surgery in the ICU, emergency surgery. My niece and her baby, who was one at the time, my niece was like 22 at the time, they in emergency room too, getting taken care of. So I run out to my car and I hop on the interstate, heading to the location. when I get on the interstate, it start drizzling. I'm like, God, no, not the rain. Because in the South, it rains profusely, you know? So if it start raining hard, it's hard for me to get there, you know?
Right.
And immediately the Holy Spirit told me I was a mile away from the house. I mean, from the next exit. And immediately he said, go back to the hospital. You and your family gonna need each other. So I just did. I just got off the freeway on the next exit and I took the streets back. And I can remember like red and yellow lights in my mind. I think at this point, I'm just in complete shock. Like it really happened, right? But nobody at the hospital knows. Nobody knows. Maybe doctors and police officers, but none of my family knows, right? So I get back to the parking lot and those two black ladies, the two African-American ladies who was, offering encouragement to my father, they intersect me as I'm getting out the car and I'm just walking. It feels like everything around me is barely moving like this. I can't even explain it. I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone, if that's even a thing. I'm just like, so they look at me and they like, hey, baby, did you find your mom? And I was like, she did. They was like, oh my God, you know? And it was like, did they tell you that? And I'm like, no. I don't think I even responded. I just shook my head. Like, I didn't have any answers for these people right now. You understand what I'm saying? It's hard for me to explain to you. I don't even know if you're saved. I don't know if you have a relationship with Jesus. I don't know which, I ain't got time for all that right now. I just know my mama at this point, right? I ain't got time to explain it. And I'm just shocked. Like, the wind is literally knocked out of me. And from that moment forward, for 4 months, I don't even know how I was breathing. It had to have been God. So one lady, one of them said, oh my goodness, can I embrace you and pray with you? I'm like, yeah. So as soon as she started praying, I just started screaming. I was screaming. So my oldest brother, I hear him. They helped me back to my car. I just got a couple steps away from my car. So they helped me back to my car, but I just hit the ground. I'm on a pavement on straight gravel. And
take your time.
Whew. I'm just screaming. I'm like praying though, but I can't believe the Lord took her. That's what I'm thinking. Like, you really took my mama. Like, you let this happen. I still don't have a whole lot of information at this point. What we believe is that a drunk driver hit her at this time. That's what we believe in. So it's chaotic because I'm on the ground at my car just crying. I'm talking to God. They can't understand what I'm saying, but I'm talking to him. Because I know he's a miracle worker. And regardless of what these people was talking about, you could put my mama's soul back in her body, you know? Like, it's crazy. So shortly after that, I hear another familiar voice, which is my oldest son. Apparently he was either with his girlfriend or at work. I can't remember. But he like, mom, calm down. He was told to come to the hospital, but he wasn't given any information. So I'm not going to answer that. I don't even know what that is. So he's consoling me or whatever. He's consoling me. And finally, I try to get it together. But then all of a sudden, the parking lot to the hospital is across the street from the hospital, across the street from the emergency room. So all of a sudden, I hear the screams of my other family members. They're finding out what happened. I don't know how they put two and two together. I don't know. I don't know how they got the information. I never asked. But my dad, he walks up on me and he's trying to console me. And so I just tell him the will of the Lord be done type deal. And so it's a lot of chaos going on right now. It's chaotic. Everybody crying, everybody screaming. By this point, you don't realize it, but you've been at the hospital for hours. So they put everybody in this room, you know, the little private family room, to go ahead and give you the put everybody in a little private family rooms to give you the updated information or whatever. So finally, it's the next day. It's after midnight by now. And they put us in this room, and they have to come in there and they have to call off names because, again, it was three major accidents, but our accident included seven people. It was my mother, two nephews, my niece, and then it was the person who ran over my mother and two of her children. So they tell us, we get in the room, and basically they tell us a 68-year-old woman dead on arrival, dead on scene, or something like that. And I hadn't cried for hours. We all had cried for hours, but when I heard it, I still walked out of the room and just went and stood. My son and his girlfriend came after me. The cops come out after they make the after they stand with the doctor while he makes the announcement. So my son ends up passing out. Now he's admitted into the emergency room. It's chaotic, right? Everything is crazy. So we leave the hospital. Now it's time to start making plans. Well, one night, I think it's day two, I'm hurt, I'm mad, and I can't sleep. They ended up giving me some sleeping medicine, but I wouldn't take it, you know, because my mama used to always say, even when I had my kids, don't keep taking that because you'll get hooked on it. So I just never believed in taking medicine, like talking about it. It didn't work anyway. It was like Tic Tacs. I can't even explain it. Like, there is no rest when you're going through that level of grief, right? There's no rest. So one night, me and the guy I was dating, we're both truck drivers. So one night I got up and I just started driving. And my brother right above me, he hit me up. He like, Mimi, you woke? I'm like, yeah. He like, where you at? Like, what you doing? I'm like, driving. He like, I can't believe mom is gone. I just broke down and started crying in the middle of the road. So just so happened the guy I was dating, he ended up hitting me up like, hey, he was like, you on my mind, you woke? I'm like, just boo-hooing. He like, where you at? I'm looking around like I don't know, because I literally just was driving. And so I finally figure out where I'm at. And then he like, come to the truck stop up there. I'm like, all right. Go to the truck stop, hop in the back of his sleeping berth. That's the only time I could sleep. While he driving, I sleep, right? So when he stopped so that he could rest, now I'm up. And this night changed my life. I'm so angry with this girl. I'm so angry with her. How stupid can you be? You know, how dumb, how careless can you be? How is it that you did this and you survived? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, and then when you really think about it, it's nothing that this person can say that will ever bring her back. It's nothing that you can say that could ever ease the pain of my family. There is nothing that you could do or say to change this. Nothing can change the fact that my mother is laying in somebody's morgue. Nothing. Nothing changes this. I'm so angry and infuriated. I'm so infuriated. I'm like talking at God because I ain't really talking to him. It's like in my mind. I'm just like, I'm so mad. Like, I can't even explain. I don't think I've ever been this hurt and upset in my life. And in an instant, while I want God, you know, I'm like, vengeance is yours and you better get it. That's how I'm feeling. Vengeance is yours and you better get it, right? But the thing that we don't realize is vengeance is the Lord, and but he's so merciful. He's such a merciful God. The way that we want him to get people, he's not interested in getting them in that way. He first applies grace and mercy, right? He applies forgiveness if he wants it. He's not that person. He's not that type of God. But I cannot come to grips with that. And so what ends up happening as I'm laying there going through all of these emotions, I'm rocking, I'm sitting up, I'm laying down, rocking, sitting up, you know, I get out, I had started back smoking cigarettes, nerves is on a million, just I'm getting in and out the truck. I'm just a mess. I go to lay down, and finally the Lord took me back years prior. I was in a domestic violence relationship with my ex-husband when I was young. I got married out of school. Long story short, he punched me. I'm pregnant. He punches me and I hit the brakes. He gets out the car and he starts running. I'm looking for him. When I finally find him, I snapped, right? I snapped. And he's crossing over this main street. We're in Long Beach. He crosses over this main street off of a street called Paramount and like Candlewood. He's hitting a bus stop where there's a bunch of pedestrians, but I clicked and I just hit the gas. By the time that I realized that I'm about to hit pedestrians, I hit the brakes, but my car still comes up on the curb. The people start scattering. By the grace of God, I didn't hit nobody, right? And the reason why the Lord brought that back to my memory is because it could have been you, but I spared you. You understand what I'm saying? My grace was applied to your life. It could have been you. The reason why the Lord used that instance was because after the hospital, the next day, my brothers end up telling us that her husband ended up talking to them and at the hospital, and she was not drunk. She had done this before, right? And apparently the police was at their house and he was telling them, don't let her go because she done this before. And it was a domestic dispute or something, right? The police ain't listening to him and they let her go. And this is what ends up happening. So now I'm even more mad because, you know, I'm being self-righteous. You know, I done been in a domestic violence situation. I didn't kill nobody. You know what I'm saying? This one I'm telling God. I'm like, I ain't do this. I ain't do that. And I guess the Lord was like, let me humble you. So he just took my mind back to the day where I'm 22 years old and infuriated, enraged, and I hit a curb with at least five other people besides my kid's father on that bus stop. You understand? I hit a curb. Then people went scattering. And in that very moment, my heart softened for that lady. It was like the Lord just needed for me to be able to relate to her so that I could see whatever the case of the deal was. Perhaps she didn't mean to kill my mom. Maybe she was trying to kill herself and just clicked. You understand what I'm saying? So that night I ended up writing. I'm a writer. So I was on Facebook. And I was like, when I meet her, I'm going to introduce her to my mama. I want you to understand that you didn't just kill, because the news be like, before they get a name, it'd be like 68-year-old senior citizen. First of all, mom's was far from a senior citizen. You understand what I'm saying? She was spunky and had lots of life. So her name is Dorothy Faye Williams, right? I want everybody to know who my mom is. So that was my first line of business. But then I knew that it was my job to forgive her. And I told the Lord, this hurts so bad. Like, naturally, when somebody hurts you, it's first, it's pain, right? It's heartbreak. And then you're infuriated. So I'm like, this hurts so bad. But if you help me with this, if you help me, I can do it, right? So I knew the Lord would help me. So I wrote on Facebook that I'm going to introduce her to my mom. I'm going to show her pictures of my mother. The courts are already going to show you pictures of a lady deceased in a car, right? A mangled up car. They're going to already show you that. But I have the responsibility to introduce you to the woman that was for 68 years. You know what I'm saying? The mother, the cook, the grandmother. You understand what I'm saying? Little Mike Tyson, because mom thought she could beat up everybody. The prayer warrior, you know. She was funny. She was all the things. And I feel like everybody needs to resonate with that first, right? But the main line of business is, we lost my mom, but the Lord wanted to give this woman an opportunity that I didn't really even know was to come. Neither did I know he was choosing me to do it. Over the course of months after that, I wrote that on Facebook. I'm going to, you know, let her know I forgive her or whatever. And that's what I thought this was about. So later the Lord tells me, well, you still got to move to Texas. I'm like, all right, not really all right, but all right, because I really want to stay with my dad, right? I want to stay around my family. I really didn't want to move anymore, but I'm like, okay, I'll go. So it took me some months, but I left. And the process of me getting here, everything changes, because when you really yield your heart over to God, when you really are committed to doing the work of God, when you're really willing to do the will of God, his destiny may not look like what you have planned for your life, right? There are some people who absolutely are doing their destiny. And then there's people like me who just a natural born hustler. And I would try anything to make sure me and my kids keep a roof over our head, right? So we get here, and the first thing he takes is truck driving, which I thought was ludicrous. I thought that was crazy. I'm like, say what? But all right, because I'm thinking it's temporary. One day I'm talking to the Lord and he tells me to go ahead and start writing the book. But the pain is still too fresh. I'm like, yeah, I don't know about that. So I'm talking to God. I'm upset again. I'm having a moment, because grief is not a period of time. It's a course of time. It's a process. And I'm like, why my mom? Because we watched the video. We had to watch the video of what happened, because it was a lot of legal stuff going on. And because we're still going through the legalities, I can't go too far into it. But so my sister, my brothers were not strong enough, and I didn't want my sister to go by herself. So I went, and then one of my brothers did end up showing up, and we watched the video. The first time I was bracing myself, because it's crazy to, it's one thing to be having a conversation with your mama, and then an hour later she did, right? Or less, 2-3 minutes later she did, because I called her after church. But it's a whole nother thing to watch her doing a live action, which is driving, and then, you know what I'm saying? Complete chaos. So after the first, we watched it the first time, and I kind of like tried to turn my head. It was like I was trying to turn. I just wanted to be there for my sister. So I tried to turn, but I ended up looking back at the monitor as soon as the impact happened. And craziest thing was when I seen it, I said, it wasn't that bad, right? So because there was a conclusion that had to happen in order for the right charges to happen, right? So we had to look at this video, because they weren't looking at it right, and my sister wasn't going to rest until the charges were correct. So I said, run it back again. I ran that video, had the sheriff, the police officer, to run that video back maybe 5 or 6 times. Until I could see what we needed to see. So after that, I was down for 3 days. I couldn't get out the bed, no nothing. I was just down. To stand up, felt like I was weak. I was weak. And to the point to where like, I couldn't even worship. I am a worshiper. I love to pray. I love to worship, right? I was weak. I had nothing. And so over the course of time, it's getting better. 4 months in, I went to a deliverance service, and a prophet came, never met him before. God blessed the man. And they prayed and it broke. So it's not as bad. I'm functioning in life. But one day I'm having a moment. I'm like, bruh, I think I may have went to the store to find a, I was going in the store and whenever I used to see purses, I'd call my mom like, they got this purse in here, you know, kind of thing. And I thought to call her and couldn't. And I think that's what may have spiraled it. And I'm talking to God, like, when we watched the video, there's a four-way intersection. My mom's going this way, right? There's no cars coming this way. So there's two cars that proceeds before my mother, before she even comes to the stop sign. But my mother, when she approaches the stop sign, she's behind a car. That car proceeds, and then my mother proceeds. And all I could think of was, not that I wanted anybody else to die, but why Dorothy car? You know what I'm saying? How right. did she pass up all of them cars that went before my mom? So I'm asking God, why did you choose my mother's car? Like, why did you allow this to happen? Like, what is this about? And the Lord asked me a question. He said, were the people in the vehicles that preceded your mother, were they saved? I said, I don't know. He says, okay. He says, could the families of the people in the vehicles who preceded your mother, would they be willing to forgive the lady who did this? I'm like, I don't know. I'm barely holding on to forgiveness at this point, right? Right. And then the Lord asked me a question. He said, would the people, would the family members of the other people in the cars, would they introduce her to me? I just started crying because I'm like, surely you are asking for too much right now, right? Surely this is too much. So what I do understand about my mother's passing is that the lady who killed my mother, even though she was trying to kill herself and her children, she was unable to take her own life. God spared her life so that she could be saved, so that she could be introduced to him. The truth of the matter is, if my mom had lived with the injuries that happened to my nephews and that woman's children, it would have killed my mom because she loved kids. I mean, beyond what you could even understand, right? So it would have murdered her anyway. She wouldn't have been able to live with it. And she always had this saying that if she couldn't wipe her own tail, it was time for her to go anyway. The nature of the wreck, right? The nature of the wreck was so gruesome that she wouldn't have been able to wipe her own tail. You understand what I'm saying? So the thing is, I get the opportunity when we get our day in court to not only introduce you to my mom, not only allow you to understand that I forgive you, but that the Lord forgives you and he's pursuing you. The fact of the matter is, that has to be a level of mental issues, right? But society has called demonic issues mental issues. And the truth of the matter is, if it was just mental, then your medication would work, right?
Right.
You got pills that are keeping people with HIV alive. You have antibiotics for infections. The infection goes away, right? You had the COVID vaccine and you got whatever else you got for COVID. You got all kind of flu vaccines and mumps and measles and mumps and all of those things. You got a medicine for everything and it works according to the FDA. So then why is it that this woman has been suffering with mental issues and none of your medications have worked? It's because she has a demonic issue and she needs to be delivered. So if she had to kill anybody else, would those people be able to offer her salvation? Would they end up going to hell themselves for not forgiving and spiraling out of control themselves? Would they have known the prayers and the steps of deliverance to get her delivered if she accepts it? Probably not. So then, because God makes no mistakes, I am convinced that he knew what he was doing. My mother is saved. She's in glory. You understand what I'm saying? It sucks. But this as much as it's a hard story, it doesn't feel good. We miss her. I feel sorry for my dad. It's the worst thing to see. But the other day, Wednesday, I was sitting in church, and as the man of God was speaking, I said, you know, God, I'm proud of my family. Because the truth of the matter is, my mother, she was like the strong arm to the family, right? She was the pillar. So I was more afraid of what would happen to them than I was me. My sister and my mom were best friends. My brothers are mama's boys. I kind of am the rebel. Me and mom was cool, but we was probably a lot alike. So we bumped heads a lot. You know, some of them days I come over here to get a plate and I start asking questions that she don't want to answer. She's like, Mimi, go home. I'm like, okay, girl, because I got a house to go to. Right? Whatever. My dad would be like, y'all don't start this. Now don't get started. I'm like, it's your wife. It ain't me. You know, she like, get your daughter. Cliff, get your daughter. Oh, man. What I wouldn't do to have another moment to get put out of her house for something I feel like is minute. You know what I'm saying? So I understood that as much as this hurts and it sucks, death is as much a part of life as breathing. Right? Death is as much a part of life as it is to breathe. And so we all got to go. I hate the way that she went. I absolutely hate the way that she went. But I understand this. The Lord answered her prayer. My mother didn't want to suffer. So since if that was the inevitable, then she didn't suffer. I did my mother's makeup. My best friend did her hair for a funeral. My mother, she didn't have any bruising in her face. She had one little, like, right here, where, like, the airbag may have hit her or something. I'm not really sure. But she looked like herself. I was like, God, what did it? Like, I'm looking at her like, you know what I'm saying? It is my vast belief that the angel of the Lord snatched her spirit soon as the impact. He just took her up out of here. Because when they got there, my niece was the only one who was not knocked out, who nothing happened to. My mom was non-responsive and had no pulse. When the cars stopped flipping, she was gone. So there was no struggle. There was no suffering. And the will of the Lord is taking place. This woman is going to meet God. And she's going to be delivered. I went to church. That happened on Wednesday. On Sunday, I went to church just so my church family would know that I was okay. And my pastor asked me, did I have anything to say? And I made a declaration. And I mean it to this day. The devil is in trouble now. So this is why when I seen you put the invitation up, does anybody? Yeah, absolutely. Right? Because of you podcasters, that's going to help me get the story out. Not the gruesome story of my mother's death, but the sacrifice of my mother's death. It's going to save somebody else. It's going to deliver somebody who's been suffering mental, demonic issues for a long time. And the Lord wants to be introduced. And who am I that he would choose my family to introduce this lady who's been suffering to him? Who am I? So I miss my mom, but I'll see her again. But right now, the Lord's will be done. And there's the Lord's business that has to be taken, that has to take place. And I can't wait for my day in court. I will not be condemning her. I'm not against whatever my siblings have to say to her. If they have something to say, my father has something to say, that's fine. But I've been given an assignment by the Lord, and I know what my assignment is. So I'm going to introduce her to God, big God, not the little one.
I like that. Wow, sis. I am speechless.
Yeah, it's more than a notion.
Wow.
Glory to God.
I am speechless. Yeah. You are amazing. I'm super grateful that we were aligned.
Amen. Me too. Me too.
So have you found ways to honor her legacy?
No, you know, at first I just was, I was making it, you know what I'm saying? I'm just making it through. And, take for instance, my sister, she's a lot more emotional than I am. And, she and my mom were best friends. So, you know, like I need to be strong for them. My brothers, I hadn't seen my oldest brother cry since I was 5. And my brother above me, I hadn't seen him cry in a while either. But if he and I get upset enough, we'll shed a few tears. So, but at the funeral home, it was the most gory, craziest feeling. You sitting in this room and a director coming there, and it's business as usual for them, you know? And they just immediately start talking and bombing and organs settling, and you know, because I wanted to see my mom, because it took us 5 days to be able to see her. But thanks be to God, you know, Louisiana is so mom and pops. One of my cousins, she worked with that particular funeral home, and she was able to pull some strings for me because I was having a hard time not seeing my mom. It was like that little girl, you know, you at daycare when you little and you waiting on moms to come pick you up. You know, it was kind of like that. Like I needed my, she went on vacation. I'm like, bro, where is my mom? Like, that's how I felt. I didn't care what condition she was in. I don't care about what y'all got to do with, you know what I'm saying? She's mine. She belongs to me. I need to see my mom, period, point blank. And so it took a little bit. So when we got there, they was like, we're not going to be able to see her again. So I'm dealing with that. But as I'm dealing, and I'm very quiet and still, because I'm trying to breathe, and, it's almost like I'm scared to move, because to be completely honest, sis, in that moment, I know my mom is in this building somewhere. You know what I'm saying? We doing funeral arrangements, and it's a part of me that I want to break out running to just check rooms. You feel me? Like, no disrespect to everybody else, mama and grandma and cousins and all them that's up in here. But I need my mom. Like, I could just see me running through there, opening up the freezers. Like, bro, get, you know, I was like having all of these crazy thoughts. And to be very honest, days prior to this, maybe on 2 days after my mom passed, we thought we were going to get a chance to see her. And they had said, no, that wasn't what was happening. My dad had kind of got the information mixed up. So my sister was like, well, we can't see her today. I'm like, oh, okay. So I sit in the floor and I Google the local morgue, what I thought was the morgue, right? And so I leave. I leave them at the house. I lie and tell them I'm going to get my kids. And I pull up. I pull up to the morgue and I walk in there and I'm a mess. Lady was like, how can I help you? I'm like, I believe you got my mom here. And a woman comes from the back and I'm just crying. She was like, well, who's your mom? And I tell her, Dorothy, and she goes, did this just happen a couple days ago? And I'm like, yeah. She like, well, we don't keep bodies here. This is like we're the offices, but we don't bring bodies here. I'm like, okay. So she says, well, tell me how the process goes. And she says, you know, when they come, if you want to sign papers, but we do things in order in my family. My dad is going to sign his papers, and my sister has always been designated as the oldest girl to take care of the business. So I didn't sign no papers. I mean, you don't got her here no way, so you say. You know what I'm saying? So I go back to the car, and I lose it. I'm in my car screaming and hollering. I'm losing it, bruh. I'm losing it. Like, I'm just losing it. Screaming. I'm all by myself. I'm just screaming and hollering. So finally, I pull it together enough to call my sister to let her know what they said. And she like, Mimi, I think common sense for her that I even went to the city morgue was like, she ain't, you know, like she tripping. So my sister was talking to me real calm, Mimi, where are you? And I was like, oh, they had said, I was trying to like play it cool. I don't even remember what I was saying. And then I just lost. She was like, okay, we on our, I think she said we on our way or just sit there or something. And sis, I lost it again. I just lost it. So everybody pulled up, my cousins, my aunts, my uncle, my dad, my sister, my brother, like everybody pulled up. It was craziness. It was pure craziness. It was crazy. But even with me having those breakdowns, I still was more concerned about them, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you have any memories that you want to share about your mom today?
I got so many. I got so many. Man. My mom, she had a lot of different sayings, right? So she loved the Lord, but her mouth was filthy sometimes, right? She would be like, she would say things that only she could say, like, you could worry the hairs off of a donkey's ass, or she would just say some craziness, stuff I can't say because this is no air, but she would just say things. She was extremely hilarious. She was extremely stern. My mom cooked her butt off, and not just because she's my mom. Her cooking was her love language. Her macaroni and cheese, fried fish, greens, gumbo, jambalaya, dirty rice. My mom was a cook. She catered. She had a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week child care while we was in Cali. When we got to Louisiana, she did her child care again. My mom cooked for the church. She cooked for weddings. She cooked for the sick and shut-in. She cooked for the bereaved. She loved to cook. And her favorite claim to fame was, I ain't about to be doing all this. I'm done. I ain't gonna do this no more. I'm tired. And we'd be like, whatever. Oh, this was something else funny. And it's in the book, but I'll tell you. So I would go to her and tell her, you know, mama, look at him. Ain't he cute type deal? Because my mama met my daddy when she was like 13. So nobody was ever finer than my dad, right? So I'm like, mom. I'm like, he cute? I'm like, look, this is my new little friend, whatever. So her and my sister, they used to be cooking together, girl. I used to be with my daddy and the boys. I'm going to come and taste it for y'all. I ain't doing no cooking. So I go in the kitchen with them, and I'm like, y'all, I'm showing them my phone. Like, he kind of cute, right? My sister like, yeah, he look like your type. My mama look at him and go, yeah, he ugly enough. He wasn't that attractive, but that was besides the point. So then my sister was like, he is not ugly. And then my sister said, she don't think nobody look good but that black man back up in there talking about my daddy. And she told my sister, you right, with her middle finger, you right, and you go straight to hell. Girl, she was so hilarious. Yeah, we got so many memories of mama. She kept everybody's kids. My kids were raised with me and my parents. Like she was a serial entrepreneur, from taxes to real estate, nursing, daycare. Girl, she was a hustler, bona fide hustler. Anything you could do, she could do better. She was very competitive for no reason at all. It was so annoying. And she didn't mind putting people in their place, period, point blank. If you crossed her or her kids, she was going to let you know. She didn't care if you was the bishop. She didn't care. Everybody put their pants on one leg after the other, just like her. That was Dorothy, a brilliant mind. She was loving, annoying, and strict, funny. That was my mama. Yep.
And she could read people.
Oh, what? Yeah. But my mom also had the gift of discernment, though. You know, back in the day, I don't think they called it that. So she never said it. But she would look at my friends and go, that ain't your friend. And it used to get on my nerves. You know, when you're a teenager, you don't want to hear all that. Girl, you don't want me to be friends with nobody. You know what I'm saying? Like, you think everybody a problem. But she knew. And she was not wrong. She was not wrong. If I was like, once I got to be a little grown and I go call myself sneaking off with my little boyfriend, she knew which one of my friends would turn over on me. And she would call them and have them to bring her to the location. My mother, she always knew. She knew it was a period, point blank. I can't take that from her. Yeah, she was amazing. She's pretty dope. Yeah.
Yes, we getting her name out there today, okay?
Amen. Thank you.
We're going to know who she is.
Absolutely.
Strong, resilient, funny.
Cray cray. Girl. Cray cray. Cray cray.
What message would you... Were you saying something else?
Go ahead. What message was?
What message would you like our listeners who may... experience the same thing, maybe experiencing the same thing right now?
It's so funny. My mom's favorite song was, and I'm no singer, but hold to his hand, to God's unchanging hand. You ought to hold to his hand. Build your hope on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. If I had to tell the listeners anything, I would tell them that I look this strong, I am this strong because of the grace of God. And when you go through tragic events, you will not make it if you do not give it over to the Lord. If you do not practice forgiveness, if you don't ask the Lord to give you a heart to forgive, this kind of stuff can kill you. Resentment, malice, it can kill you. If I had anything to say to the people who may be going through something like this, is that allow the Lord to minister to your heart. And especially if you're already saved, do not allow this event to make you question God in a sense of he doesn't know what he's doing, because nothing catches him by surprise. Nothing catches him off guard. There's nothing that can be done without his permission. He has the whole world, including you and I, in his hands. And I would also encourage you to see where it is that you are needed in this space. For me, I am needed to introduce this girl to Christ. I am needed to explain to her that you don't have a mental problem, but you have a demonic issue, which is probably a generational curse, and to offer her deliverance and to show her how to get her deliverance. So if you're going through something like this, I would really encourage you to seek God on what it is that you're supposed to do now. Obviously grieve, obviously forgive, obviously trust God, but what else? What else? That's it.
Trust God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when he reveals it to you, jump on it. Don't wait. Don't procrastinate. Immediately start forming your plan in order to do whatever the assignment is that he's told you to do. Don't wait. Get to it. Yeah.
So this is my last question for you. You have the gift of discernment.
Absolutely.
What do you see when you see me?
I'm glad you asked. I see someone who is extremely empathetic. I see someone who's gone through some things yourself. And I see a woman of God who God is going to use mightily. And I honestly feel I was going to tell you this anyways. I want you to, if you will, begin to find yourself spending more intimate time with God so that he can minister to your heart. I see a powerful pillar for Christ. That's what I see. And I do believe that this podcast is going to go far past your wildest imagination. Even if it's slow at first, it's okay, because I'm telling you that God will bless it. If you first give your first fruits to Him, He'll multiply it, right? You don't give it to Him so that He can multiply it. You give it to Him because I love you and I appreciate you allowing me to do this, right? But because you love Him in that way, He's going to multiply it. And I decree and declare that as you spend time with Him, that He will begin to expose your own spiritual gifts even the more. And that in this hour, that He will begin to activate them and you will use them. And that people who know you won't even really recognize you anymore because of the Holy Ghost that's about to take over in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That gave me chills. Wow. Ooh, it was my pleasure having you here.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I really enjoyed being here. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to tell my story here first. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Ooh, girl. I've learned a lot of things throughout your whole story. It was some confirmations for me in there.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
It may just touch many, many people who see this video, who may have went through it, may be going through it, or have not even gone through it yet.
Amen.
I hope her story touches you. Would you like to tell people how to contact you, connect with you?
So right now I just have my basic Instagram, which is Anise Sue Williams or Anise Sue Jesus Girl Williams. I have the Threads, which is also Anisu Jesus Girl. I'm so old school, y'all. I might look younger than I am, but I'm old. And so everything is very basic for me. On Facebook, it's Anisu Williams. That's spelled A-N-E-S-U Williams. And you'll see my parents as my profile picture. They have on blue shirts. Yeah. And you can connect with me on any, none of my things are private. So you can connect with me, contact me. I'm available. I promise to get back with you. And I also have a book coming. Right now I'm going through, the editor sent me the book back and now I'm going through it, reading, making sure that I approve the edits, and then we'll get a cover and then we'll go ahead and get it out there because there's so much more to the story. I just gave you what I could in this time.
Okay. So. Okay. Would you be willing to come back to my platform to show your book? We could talk about it.
Thank you so much. I sure would. Thank
you. And support.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you all for tuning into Her Story Untold Studios. Your support is invaluable to us. Remember, every story we share is a beacon of hope and strength. No matter what you're going through, know that you are not alone. Together, we can overcome anything. Stay strong, stay hopeful, and keep sharing your light with the world. Take care. We'll see you soon.
All right. See you soon. Bye.
That was awesome.